Hey, this is Ryan Vogelsong. You're listening to Giants Warm Up with Marty Lorie and Patrick Connor right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Time for a California dealer. Four dealers, of course, they're hitting home runs for youth sports. The Giants have 22 home runs now, and the most memorable one happened very recently. Here it is.
The pitch. Swing, and there's a high drive deep to right field. Way, way back there, and goodbye! A home run for Brandon Belt! And boom, the Giants take a two-run deficit and turn it into a one-run lead.
Boy, I heard that one driving home on Wednesday night. And boy, I'll tell you, in the car, you know, you take one of these drives and all of a sudden, you know, you get a little mesmerized just listening to John. And then that happened. It was a lot easier to drive after that. Boy, what a home run for Brandon Belt. That brings our season total to 22 home runs with $100 for every homer. That means so far this year, the Giants have helped raise $2,200 for the TLC for Kids sports program sponsored by your California Ford dealers. If you're looking for a new car today, support a brand who supports our community, California Ford dealers, and TLC for Kids sports, improving our community and youth sports one field at a time. That was, Bobby, that was crushed. That was crushed.
We've had a few exciting home runs. A lot of them that have been hit have been exciting or tied the game or given us a lead. So
what do you make of this team? I kind of said, just to, for the sake of discussion, it reminded me a little of 2010 when a different person every night would do something and they all could hit. Is this what we're going through with this guy, with these guys?
You know, we forget that this is a team that we had the last 2 months of last year. It's not a team that we had all of last year. Brandon Belt didn't start the season as our first baseman, and we can work our way around with obviously Pence in the mix and Scudero. It's a good ball club, and they're continuing to play back to what they did last year. They're not striking out a lot. A lot of line drives and ground balls, and they know when to get the fly ball in. And obviously late in the game they've come through.
Yeah, the home run especially. You know, that's not easy to do that. You know, you're facing guys who can throw 95. I mean, there's David Hernandez. Now, J.J. puts, you know, wasn't great, but, you know, he's still a guy who got a great split and all that. And you're coming in late in a game and getting it done. That, to me, you don't see that often.
No, you're seeing some of your best pitching late in the game. And the truth is that you got to bear down. I think that each guy, their approach with two strikes has really come through, and you see each different guy's doing it. And I agree, it is kind of like 2010.
Yeah, very much so. Well, we had Clayton Blackburn on with us today, and I want to just get your take on him. Young man, only 20 years old, as Pat and I figured out, and we did the math on his birthday. But last year in Augusta, a control guy, a lot of strikeouts, pitcher of the year down there. And, of course, now at San Jose, he's doing really well. So give me a little thumbnail on Clayton Blackburn.
Well, he's just very advanced on how to pitch, and he uses all of his stuff and throws it for strikes. A breaking ball, a changeup. Obviously, he's got an above-average fastball. And I think that the interesting thing about him is just how advanced he is in his approach. He's very mature on the mound. It's come a long way very quickly. Last year was a great year for him. And he started out extremely strong. He's a guy that could come quickly just because he just commands everything in the zone right now, and that's a big part of it.
He was not a high draft pick, though.
Well, he's a guy that we were fortunate that our scout did a great job.
Dan Murray.
Watching him and kind of projecting where he would be available, and we were able to get him a little later.
Boy, nice.
Isn't that good? Well, Bobby, let me ask you. I know that you go for talent first, but how much of part of the equation is maturity? It's probably pretty hard to evaluate maturity, but as Marty was saying, Clayton Blackburn, we can just hear it popping right through the speakers. So how much of a role does that play in your evaluation?
Well, when you're drafting a high school kid, you've got to, or a young kid, you've got to know that he can handle the pressure of being away from home for some of them the first time, and you got to know that he's going to be able to go out there and compete. And
yep.
And if he doesn't have the maturity off the field, he's definitely not going to have it on the field. And so that's a big part. Makeup is a big deal. And our scouts go into the players' homes, meet with the families, meet with the player. It's not by luck. I mean, it's by design.
Okay.
How's Chris Stratton doing, the first-round pick from last year from Mississippi State?
I think he's come around pretty good. I mean, we would have liked to have seen him pitch through Salem last year, but he got hit with a line drive during batting practice and missed the second half of the Salem season. And was really not able to do much during instruction league, so we had to get him started at Augusta. He probably could have been another part of this really very good staff in San Jose, But he's off to a good start, and the club is above 500, and he's made, I think, four starts now. We're on a six-man rotation, so he's got a 2.8 or so ERA, and he's getting his strikeouts. He's had one outing where he walked a few guys, but for the most part, he's commanding his stuff, and he's not going to overpower anybody, but I think his velocity's even come up since spring training.
Boy, nice. Bobby Evans with us, assistant general manager. I like
and
that.
And, Marty, you see what's on his right hand
right? Yes, I do.
Brand new on Thursday,
beautiful
Bobby.
Beautiful new ring.
There was this little ceremony for employees of the team, and Mike and Dwayne came out and did the ceremony for the ring ceremony.
No, they did a nice job. It was very special for all of us in the front office. It's fun to see each one get it. I mean, one of our own in the ticket office, Anita Sprinkles, was the leadoff hitter. She received her ring first, and then all of us followed suit. And it was a lot of fun. It was very special. I mean, a lot of employees had their families with them, and made it for a very meaningful night. Yeah,
very nice.
That's cool.
Very nice. Well, you made a couple of moves this week, and I know the fans are going to ask me about it tonight on the show. Peguero is up. Hector Sanchez is down. Why don't you give us the background on this move?
Well, it probably started at the end of spring training when Hector was really struggling to get going, and he missed quite a bit of time. We got him in a couple of games at the minor league camp to try to get him ready to start the season because we knew he was going to be healthy to start. But what's happened is as Buster's catching more and Hector's sitting more and having missed a lot of that time in the second half of spring, he's really hadn't found his rhythm. And so we feel like this is the way to get him going, get him down there and play two, 3 days in a row, a day off, and play some more. And just in the meantime, it gives Peguero a chance to come up here, give us a little break in the outfield. He's got speed. He can do a number of things late for us in the game, play all three outfield positions. So it's probably a good thing for Hector right now more so than anything just to get down there and play.
Does this put Peguero in the mix at all? I know there's been a platoon with Torres and Blanco, a lefty-righty. Does this put Peguero perhaps in that mix at all?
I don't think it necessarily does right out of the chute, but, I mean, that's something that Boach will have in his toolbox, if you will, as he looks at the matchups and looks at the options for the lineup on a given day, knowing who needs a blow or who may be really struggling against a given arm, he can put Peguero out there. But Peguero has a chance to earn some playing time. I mean, he's not going to get it right away.
Well, the other move was predictable, and that is Affeldt comes back. So now you got two lefties in the pen right now, and Rosario goes back. But the next move, I think, that'll be one of my topics, believe me, for the next couple of days when Maharis comes back. And I don't know what sort of shape he's in to come back, but the bereavement leave is up after a week.
Right. So
what do you do
there?
He
has to be activated on Monday regardless, and he will be back, but he'll need to be active on the roster, so we'll have to make a move. Whether we go, there hasn't been any discussion of the corresponding move at this point, but anticipated that we'll have to send an arm down, or we'll have to go with 13 pitchers. And obviously, if we went with 13 pitchers, that would send Peguero back, but that really hasn't been determined. And we've got a weekend of baseball here to play and see where we are.
Yeah, no, I always say these things sort of take care of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Ken Maka taught me that. When I'd say, Kenny, you got someone coming off the DL in a week, he says, don't worry. Something will happen.
Well, we don't want anything to happen.
Well,
But we do know that we've got a big series coming up in Colorado, and we've got to be sure that we've got the arms for that. We start off, obviously, in Toronto. But, there's a number of things on this road trip coming up that we've got to be prepared for.
Yeah, I don't mean bad things happen, but these things work themselves out. Something determines what the move will be.
Right.
It's always a lot of fun. The ball club itself, people call in, Bobby, and ask about the starting pitching. And I say it's 6 starts out of 32. You've got a guy tonight who's given up a number of home runs. Kane's given up home runs. Why is this? Well, what has happened here? I try to explain it. I'll ask you to explain it.
Well, I don't think we can read too much into it, although, we haven't had one of our pitchers get a decision, I guess, in the last 10 starts, which is unusual, which I think it bodes well for us. As well as we've done without that, I think it bodes well for us going forward because I believe in our guys, and I think that if they're not allowed a bump in the road, nobody's allowed a bump in the road, and they've certainly earned a chance to have a bump and get back together, and I have no doubt that every day you're going to see them get better and better out there.
So you call it a bump in the road?
I call it a bump in the road.
All right, I call it a shot over the fence.
We've given up some home runs too. I don't disagree, but we're able to make adjustments. Yeah. These guys, know what it takes to be successful, and they've had too much success to allow this to get him down.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Madison Bumgarner's off to a blazing start. Six starts in, it's like, man, that guy's on fire. He's the ace of the staff. But if you're struggled through the first six starts, it's just six. Let's give it some time. But is Bumgarner, is he the big hoss out there now?
Well, but, you know, again, Bum has been, I think, a model of consistency, really, since he came up here. We're fortunate that he's had success early on because he's been a guy that you can go to. But, again, you know, last night, even with Zito not going as deep as he wanted to, I mean, you know, he scattered the hits,
yep.
You know, pitched his game, gave us a chance to win.
Tough.
You know, the club still wins. He starts, we win. That's yep. A pretty good formula.
Finally, Tony Abreu is playing. You and I have talked about this for about 2 months now, so he is playing at Fresno. How's he doing?
Well, he got a couple of at-bats last night. It was 1-for-2. Obviously played some games that extended before he came to Fresno. The main thing is just to get him to a point that he can tolerance to the discomfort in his knee. And he's an interesting piece of how much he could contribute, even at a major league level, with his bat and his history. But we've got to get him to a place where he's able to go out there consistently, and he'll probably get a day off today and be back out there tomorrow.
We'll follow it. Pat, we got a call today about Brett Pill.
And sure.
You know, there are certain Brett Pill supporters out there who...
Well, 30 RBIs makes all of us a supporter.
Who email me every day. No, really, I got Joe and Faye somewhere. They email me every single day. We had a call today asking about Brett Pill. What about him? I mean, he's a right-handed bat. Peguero did get the call here as an outfielder. Brett Pill's a first baseman who tries to play the outfield. But is there a future for Pill here?
Well, I think that really depends on how Brandon Belt does. And Brett and I and his agent have all talked about that. And
yeah.
it's hard to say what's going to happen, you know, in 2013, much less 2014. I mean, you know, many things can happen, whether... You know, we're going to have some changes maybe in the outfield. Maybe that opens up an opportunity for Belt to go out there and Pill to come in at first. Maybe Pill plays the outfield for us. It's just way too early to make those judgments. We're early May here, and it's not where Brett wanted to start. Probably makes his club without an injury at the end of spring training or middle of spring training. But you know, he's doing what he has to do at AAA, which is all you can ask. The fact is, he's got value to us, but he's probably got value to other clubs, too, if they want to make a deal.
Well, that's what the caller said. So you got people thinking along your lines.
And those folks that email you every day, is that Pill's parents?
No, I think probably aunt and uncle or something.
Sure, something.
It's obvious what Brett Pill is doing at AAA right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big part of that lineup. He's
yeah.
having tremendous success. He's a great fielder at first base. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's a gamer. He's a guy that belongs in the big leagues. The opportunity's got to come for him.
Yeah, and my final thought for Bobby Evans here is that Marty and I were having some fun with fast hands at the shortstop position.
Yeah.
Crawford Arias, who's got the lightning mitts out there.
Well, Crawford's got the range on him, and that's the advantage that he'll always have. But, you know, Joaquin came up, you know, as a shortstop, and you see that the quick hands on the double play yesterday.
Beautiful.
You're going to continue to see that. That's part of who he is. And but you know, there's balls that Crawford's going to get to that's going to be tougher for Joaquin. But Joaquin brings versatility, can play any number of different spots. Obviously, we've seen him at first, but we know second, short, and third. Invaluable piece. You don't win without players like that.
Yeah, I love watching this guy play short on the double play.
Yeah.
His hands, I'll tell you, just it's a ballet for me watching. It's poetry in motion.
No, he and Scudero did a nice job last night, and we wouldn't have been in a chance to win without him.
Yeah. All right, thanks for coming by, as always.
Right on, Bobby.
I want him to co-host the show with us one day.
He can do it.
No, really. He's a radio guy.
Yeah, he's good to go.
He's very good. Bobby, thanks again.
No, thank you, guys. My pleasure.
All right, that is Bobby Evans, VP
very good.
And assistant to the general manager of the Giants. All right.